Alrighty, this is a preamble. This is a kind of a word of caution that this here is not a politically correct or scientifically correct program. This is a totally biblically correct program, which goes strictly by the Bible as we search on our journey to get to knowing God by knowing the Word. Okay, we've only made it to the third chapter in the book of Genesis, and already we are introduced to the crafty beast of the field, the serpent. Whoa, and he was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Oh my goodness. And you know what his job is, right? Well, let's see how he accomplishes his crafty little work as he slithers up to the woman and does his little trickery to trick her. So the serpent, he goes up to Eve and he says to the woman, "Did God actually say that you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Okay, word of advice, everyone. Don't try and argue with Satan or try to outwit him, outmatch him. Explain yourself. Explain what God told you, because it's a situation you're going to lose. Satan is far more devious and crafty, manipulative and sinister than we could ever imagine. That's his job. He's perfect at it. He's the father of lies. And he asked Eve this question, asking her, did God, the way he phrased the question, did God actually say that you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? I mean, that if you look at that right there, it's obvious that he is being tricky. Well, I shouldn't say that, because he is very crafty, like the Bible says, and he is very crafty, and it's not always obvious of what he is doing. But he says, he comes to her like saying, did God actually tell you that you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? So Eve gets on defense mode and then says to the serpent, no, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. Yeah, we can. But, I mean, God did say that we should not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. We shouldn't even touch it, or we'll die. Okay. That's what Satan wanted her to do. Satan wanted her to respond, wanted her to explain herself and to kind of really be curious about what he was talking about. What do you mean God said we shouldn't eat of any tree of the... I'm not going to go all the way there and say all of that, because that's really me adding to the Bible or adding what I think Satan was doing or whatever. And I really don't want to try to say that I thought what Satan was doing. So after she makes this defense or explain the situation. So this one, Satan comes and basically calls God a liar. He says, you will not surely die. That's calling God a liar, right? And that's why I'm always cautioning Christians to be careful about how you read something in the Bible that, as Christians, we all agree. Well, I shouldn't say all, but on this podcast, we all agree that what is in the Bible, unless you know, unless it is explicitly something that is a parable or something of that nature, we know that if God says something, or if it's scripture, or if it's commandments, that's what God meant. So that's why I caution Christians all the time, and I say, if God said it in the Bible, that's what it means. It's a lot of things in the Bible that Christians have started to take as, well, that was in that time period, that was in that part of the world, that was in that culture, that doesn't really apply to us. I'm not going to really get into what I'm talking about, but I'm sure a lot of people can start to. A lot of people know different things in the Bible that have been law as far as the church is concerned. And now they've kind of drawn the line a little farther back on that type of, on those type of, well, anyway, I'm just trying to say how Satan, this is Satan's whole game, is to get us to disobey God. That's his whole game. Being, obeying God and being in his will is, that's being in his will, and being a Christian and doing the right thing as a Christian, and being Christ-like is being in God's will. Doing the opposite of what God said, or being out of his will, or not following the laws of scripture, that is being out of the will of God, like Adam and Eve is about to do. So he says, you're not going to die. Like he's telling her, okay, surely God didn't tell you were going to die. You're not going to die. And then he goes even further. He goes and basically tells Eve that God doesn't want you to eat from the tree, because he knows that when you do, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see how sinister that is? See, basically, he's trying to convince her that God is trying to hold her down or hold her back, knows that that is really the answer to her, the answer to something, the answer to that, now she doesn't have to listen to God. She will be her own God if she just wises up and realize that God is just trying to trick her and to scare her by telling her she's going to die if she eats from this tree, when actually this is going to make her life better. So she fell for it. And when she saw that the tree was good for food, so I don't know how she saw that. Maybe I said one time, I told one pastor, I said, well, maybe Satan took a bite out of it himself and said, see, I didn't die. But the Bible says eventually she saw that it was good for food. Like, he ate it and it wasn't poison. He didn't die. She saw it was good for food, that, you know, because God said, if you eat this, you're going to die. So that's like saying, Don't go over there and eat and drink any of that cyanide because it'll kill you. But in this case, she didn't die. And she saw that it was delightful to the eyes too. And that it was a tree that was desired to make her wise. So you know what she did? She did exactly what God told her not to do. And she ate the fruit. And then she went and gave it to her husband. Women, don't take this wrong. But men, watch out when women try to get you to. But that goes both ways. But just be careful when people tell you to do something that you know is against the word of God or against what God would have you to do. So they ate. And just like Satan said, because he does throw a little truth into his lies to make it sound good, their eyes were both opened. Uh-oh. And remember back in chapter 1 when they were naked and they were not ashamed? Now all of a sudden, they knew they were naked. Oh my God, we're naked. So they went and made these fig leaves and made lion cloths. And all of a sudden, uh-oh. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. Uh-oh. What now? It's over. Game over. And so Adam and Eve went and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And isn't that what happened when we go and we sin? And we know we have sin in our lives. We start hiding from God. We stop praying. We stop reading the Bible. We hide ourselves from God's presence. Because we're ashamed. Because we're ashamed that the whole day went by and we didn't read the Bible. The whole day went by and I didn't speak to God. I didn't pray to God. I didn't think about his will. And it's been going on for weeks and I am so ashamed of myself. I go to church every Sunday and the preacher preaches and I promise I'm going to start over. And as soon as Monday hits, everything starts over again and I get caught up in my week. And the next thing I know, it's another week and I feel so ashamed. You don't have to feel ashamed. God knows that. We are weak, but we need to be strong. We need to consciously think about our daily life and activity and routines and conversations and prayer and the things that we do, the love that we show our neighbors. We need to always be consciously thinking about these things as much as we can and if possible. At all times. So they hid themselves from the Lord. And so I guess God is used to walking up and they're out there waiting on them. And now all of a sudden, where are they? Where are they? And he calls out, Adam, where are you? Adam comes out, he said, and now, you know, at this point, man is so naive. Adam is basically, you know, so he's still in this state of he's just being honest. You know, he's just really being honest. Now he comes out and he says, oh, I heard the sound of you in the garden. And I got afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. You know, it's like if you walk into the house and of your brother or your friend or whatever and he said, where you at, man? Oh, man, I'm not dressed. Give me a minute. I gotta put some clothes on. You know, so, but God was like, who told you you were naked? Who told you that you were naked? Adam, have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Uh-oh, it's gonna get heavy, y'all. And Adam had to say, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she's the one that gave me the fruit. Yeah, and I ate. So he shifts the blame over to God. He's like, you know, it's your fault. This woman you gave me. Everything was going good until you put her into the pit. Well, let me stop. I'm adding into scripture. I don't like doing that, but sometimes I like to get a little dramatic. So he asked that. He went to the woman. You know, since the woman's in charge, I'll talk to her. So what is this you've done, Eve? What is this that you have done? Okay, now, what does she do? She shifts the blame over to Satan. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. Okay. So, it's the serpents. The devil made me do it. That's what it boils down to, right, at the end. It's like, the devil made me do it. After God told you not to eat from the tree. And as soon as he was off somewhere and Satan comes up and tells you, well, no, that's not really the case. You know, that God's just worried that you're going to eat and then you're going to be a God like him and your eyes will be open. You are no good from evil and all of these things. And as soon as you believe that and start and what? You disobey God. Did you really love God in the first place? Or you just love him because what he's doing for you? Because you love that garden and you love the life that you have. Well, we'll see what God has to say about all of this after a quick break from our sponsor. Okay, so they've sinned now, and now their eyes are opened, and now they know they're naked. They know that's not right. They're hiding themselves, and now God is questioning them about the situation, and the man is blaming his wife. The wife is blaming Satan. So now the Lord God is about to start handing out the judgment. So this is what the Lord says to all three of them. Starting off with Satan, the serpent. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Ouch! Ooh, that hurt. Whoa.
So, you see what happens to Satan. He's the first one that the judgment is pronounced on. And basically, to me, he's cursed above all livestock. And on his belly, he's going to have to go on his belly for the rest of his life. And now God said, I'm going to put enmity between the woman's offspring and your offspring. So even though Satan is powerful, it's kind of like God is saying, okay, well, now they have dominion over the earth and over the animals, and you are now cursed above all of these. So now you might try to snip at their heel, but they're going to bruise your head, son. So Satan, he didn't get off. He didn't get off scot-free. He got punished for going over there and tempting the woman to do what he told her and her husband not to do. So now, as far as the woman, she was cursed with the childbearing in pain. So, you know, just like today, women have children. And if you've ever seen a woman in labor, which I don't think I ever have, but I saw her on TV, but it looks like, it says, the worst kind of pain you can feel. And maybe only those kidney stones or something that comes close. And he's putting her desire to her husband. And you know, this is no slight on women, but you know how women are as far as with their husbands. You know, they always are looking for appreciation. And I mean, men can do it too, but women, you know, women really have this thing in them where they seek, you know, they always try to levy to get more time, to spend more time, that they be appreciated. Are you listening to me? And women seek that. And it made me think too, when it said about the pain of the childbirth, you know how abortion is just rampant, and it seems insane how a woman, to me, it seems insane that a woman would have a child inside of her and then she would want to kill it. So, but looking at this now, if her desire is to her husband, then, I mean, and quite honestly, it says, he said to the woman, so he really said it to Eve, but we can still see that it is, that curse is still in play right today. So if a woman gets pregnant by a man and then all of a sudden the man says, well, I don't want this relationship anymore, then the woman is thinking that, well, I don't want this child. This child is the seed of that man. And now that he is out of the picture, you know, what do I want this baby for? A lot of women think like that, probably. You know, I know a lot of them do. I'm not saying that every abortion is because of that. But, you know, I see people all the time, especially Christian women and men, and they have the news that they are having a child, and that is the most wonderful thing that they could hear. They are so happy, and they are thinking that, wow, we're going to have a child, we're going to have a family. And it's just hard to think that a woman would, but if the man is out of the picture, you know, it's hard to think a woman wouldn't want that. But if the man is out of the picture, a lot of times, especially, you know, a lot of times, I was about to say, especially if it's a Christian woman, but I mean, I'm sure even a lot of Christian women probably might do the same thing if they get in that situation, you know. But like I was saying, you know, when couples, married couples, find out that the wife is pregnant, I mean, it can be situations where it might not be the best time, but usually it's the most joyous kind of news they can receive. I was talking to somebody at church today, and I remember at Christmas Eve, he told me that he and his wife were going to find out 2 days after that, 2 days later, what the sex of their child was going to be. And I saw him in church today, and I asked him, and they said, it's going to be a girl. And he was like, I know I'm already, basically he was saying that he already knew his daughter had him around her finger. And they were just so happy. And you could tell they were so happy and excited that the Lord had provided them with the child. So the man, poor Adam, now, because he listened, men, because you listened to the voice of your wife when she told you to do something that wasn't right, and you ate of the tree which I commanded you not to. Ooh, Adam said, curse, now the ground is cursed because of you. He's going to go through pain too, all the days of his life, trying to eat and work the ground. Thorns and thistles. Now the ground is going to bring thorns and thistles. Ooh. And he's going to sweat. By the sweat of his brow, you shall eat. Man, is that why y'all try to create all these jobs where y'all can work in the air conditioning and all? Anyway, so, and then God says this thing that to me would be, you know, it sounds like a hurtful statement. I mean, he's telling them, boy, you're going to sit there and disobey me after all I've done for you? He says, now, he just tells him who he is. He said, you're nothing but dust. Ooh, ooh, oh my goodness. He said, you're nothing but dust. And you're going to return to the ground. Because that is what you were taken out of. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Oh, do you know how your dad, when you disobey your father, your dad can, in his anger, he can, fathers are that way with their sons. He can, and when you make your father angry, he will tell you something that you will never forget. And it will make you never want to disobey him again until you get 16 years old. So then the Lord God said, hey, y'all, behold, the man has become like one of us. Now he knows good and evil. So let's go ahead on and take that tree of life. Before he eats and he lives forever. Let's go ahead and get that tree of life out of here. Okay, so therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden to work the ground from where he was taken. Drove him out. And he placed a cherubim with a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So now this is about, is God just? So this is part one. I am going to release part two very soon. But I think the point of us reading this part of Genesis is a lot of reasons. First of all, it is God's way of telling you, don't disobey him. And I know Satan is very, very, and thank God we have Jesus today, because Satan is very, very good at his job. And he constantly, and sometimes we don't even need to blame it on Satan. Sometimes we just do something because we want to do it. So it reinforces this thing in us that we should be obedient to God, because look at what he has done for us. Look at how he takes care of us. He protects us. And we owe him our love. We owe him our obedience. We owe him our loyalty. We owe him our gratitude. We owe him to do the things. We owe him to go out and be kind to people and love people and to pray and to meditate and to do all of the things that God would have us to do. That's the bottom line. So, well, man is fallen from grace, and right today we still are in this cycle of sin. And at this point, Jesus has come, and it's, 2020 years later, and the church is still struggling with all of the things going on in the world today that can make us just feel all of these emotional and spiritual things, and we wonder if this is the right way to think about this situation, and all of these different things. So, and then when I read this just now, doing this podcast helps me too. So I appreciate everyone that listens. I know it's a little tricky. I think listening to it, I don't know if you have to download the Spotify app to listen to it, or sometimes I tweet out mine on Twitter, and I think you can play it right there. I went to my Twitter feed and looked at it and opened it up, and I think I was able to play it right there. But of course, I already have the Anchor app, so maybe that's why I could do it. I'm not sure, but it also reminds us of who we really are. That we're nothing but dust. We're nobody. We're nothing special. We're nothing but dust. God took us out of the ground, and he made us into this, into his image. I mean, just that right there, that God made us into his image. That right there is something to just praise God, that God would do that, that he would give us himself. So I'm going to release part two. And on there, I'm going to talk about, is God really just? Is he really just? Is he really fair? You know, a lot of people, they wonder. A lot of people wonder about that. You know, why does this person have so much that they don't, that they can't, they have much more than they could ever use, and I have nothing. Why is that person have perfect health and I'm suffering all the time? Why? There's so many things you could compare, and you say, if God is just, why does this happen? So I know a lot of people who know what the next chapter of the Bible is and say, how are you going to explain all of that and that? But I'm not going to go. I probably won't be able to do all of that in the next chapter. But there is something I think that you probably would not anticipate. And you can go ahead and read chapter 4 if you want to right now. But I don't think you would be able to anticipate how I'm going to put that fairness of God and the justness of God and into the next episode. So once again, thank you for listening. And this has been another episode of Know the Word and Know God. You have a very blessed day.